Welcome to the weekly teaching program from Finally Alive Ministries with pastor and counselor Gary Aris. Gary is a full-time pastoral counselor and teacher of God's Word. He has a remarkably deep passion to see people set free in Christ. You may call our prayer line at 657-246-2464 or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. That's prayer@finallyalive.com. Now, let's join Gary as he shares some amazing truth from God's counsel in this week's teaching.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Finally Alive Radio. I'm your host, Gary Aris, your very own Christian counselor. Remember to visit us at finallyaliveradio.com, where you can download this episode and every other episode that we have recorded absolutely free. It's all yours. finallyaliveradio.com, you can get it there. Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate all the comments that we're getting. We got quite a few comments for last week's show talking about the Pope. So I appreciate the feedback there on all the different mediums we have online. That seemed to stir up the pot a little bit. that wasn't the intention, but sometimes that's going to happen. So if you missed that show, you can find that show on finallyaliveradio.com. And that's episode 33. It's called Is the Pope Wrong for Changing the Lord's Prayer? So if you didn't hear that, or if you want to hear the entire thing, because we couldn't put the whole thing on the radio, you're free to listen to it and download it there. So this week's show is going to connect a little bit of what we talked about last week about translation work, but also it's going to touch on a little bit of what we talked about the show before on worrying. So I figured, why not go through Psalm 23? Because I've heard and seen a lot of people use this chapter when they're going through tough times. And it's really a beautiful chapter. And what is said here, heck, many have even memorized, and I don't blame you. So absolutely gorgeous. I think there's songs, now that I think about it, I think there's songs of this chapter that I think I've heard. So, but we'll talk more about this. So we're still talking about worry. And we established by what Paul was saying last time that in a nutshell, he put God first. And as he put God first, he had to put everything else second. In fact, he would say everything that he had done, his authority to his education, everything else, he counted it as dung, as what the King James Version would say. Which means God, Christ, the triune, if you will, takes center seat in his life. And if the triune takes the center seat, nothing else is as important. Therefore, less anxiety, less worry, and maybe even less headaches. And Psalm 23, I think, coincides with that message that Paul was talking about. So as we go to Psalm 23, I'm going to take a lot of pauses and explain things in this chapter that perhaps the average listener may not realize. Again, this ties into the translation stuff we were talking about last week. There will be some metaphors even in this chapter that most people may not know. Hopefully this message will be very informative and even enlightening. So let's go. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's probably the most powerful set of words there. And maybe even the most of the Bible. I mean, what a powerful phrase, what a powerful statement there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's read verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I mean, how much more poetic can it get than that? That's just absolutely gorgeous. So I'm going to take the second part of the first verse, I shall not want. To clarify that, see, it's kind of difficult to understand. Does that mean I'm not going to want anything? Well, let me explain. So for the word want, the Hebrew word is chasar. And the idea of this word is to decrease, to lessen, like having less. So if we use that word to help us understand what this is saying, when we translate it, it's really saying, I shall not decrease or lessen. Or the idea would be have less. Meaning, I shall not have less. If we can do a little bit of interpreting just for the sake of understanding what it says, I shall not lack. So it does make sense. You shall not want because you're not going to lack anything. Do you see? That's some interpretation work we just did there. But I know you're saying, well, wait a minute. I do lack. I do want. I'm lacking in a lot of things. And that's probably why you're dealing with worry. Because the reality of it is, if the Lord is your shepherd, you don't lack anything. How can that be, you say? I lack a lot of things. Well, is the Lord your shepherd? That's the million-dollar question you need to ask yourself. Is he first in your life? Maybe it'll help if I explain how they saw a shepherd. The idea of a shepherd back then. What is a shepherd? What was he responsible for? Well, he was responsible for the health of his sheep. Obviously, it says here he would take them, you know, to places to graze. That makes sense. But was it the shepherd's fault if there was no grazing land? Remember, we're talking about a culture that their life revolved around agriculture. You know, we, again, 21st century person, I'll make it personal, 21st century American man, agriculture is not the center of my life. For them, it was. The shepherd's job was to lead. Oh, just like the Spirit of God. His job is to lead you. But what if there's a shortage in the land? Seasons happen, right? Sometimes there's good seasons, sometimes there's bad seasons. Sometimes the bad seasons last a long time. That wasn't the shepherd's fault. Look, we're just taking their context. We're looking at it from their perspective. They didn't look at this as, oh, well, see, he's the Lord and he's purposefully trying to hurt me. No. They understood that if they went through a bad season, that was their fault. Maybe they didn't save enough. Maybe they should have done better saving. Maybe they should have done some better harvesting when the season was good. That happens. But look, if the seasons are bad, it's not the shepherd's fault. Seasons happen. In good days, the shepherd might find, you know, an apple tree, for example. And guess what? The shepherd would shake the branches so that the apples would fall and the sheep would be able to have a treat. How awesome is that? But was it the shepherd's responsibility to make sure there's a tree there? No, it wasn't. Not at all. If it was on the way, the shepherd would share. If there was nothing, he may keep moving. If it was a dry season, they might have to walk very, very far, making the trek very strenuous. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe the walk that you are with the shepherd is a strenuous, tough walk. And what we do sometimes is we make ourselves suffer by comparing to another person, our neighbor, for example. Why aren't they suffering like I am? Number one, I don't know if they are suffering as much as you are. You don't know that for sure, because you really don't know what happens to everybody behind closed doors. I always joke, you know, people take Instagram pictures, and I've seen this in restaurants. You know, the couple puts on a big smile, they take their picture, they post it to Instagram, and instantly the smile goes away. Whether the smile was genuine or not, I don't know, but I think it's interesting that the smile has all of a sudden disappeared. It was there for a split second. So if you're, you know, surfing through Facebook and Instagram and all the other mediums, and you're seeing smiles and they're out and having a good time, that's just a moment. It's literally a split second of their day. For all I know, they just got out of an argument or they just got into an argument after they took the picture. You don't know that. Do you see? Comparing gets you nowhere. So stop. I say that in love. Stop comparing. So look, the shepherd wasn't at fault if there's no grazing land. He can't control the weather. He couldn't control the seasons. He couldn't control grass growing. This is a great place to argue and say, well, wait a minute, God can do those things. Yeah, of course he can. But you're also asking them to do miracles all the time then, aren't you? No. Generally, God's going to allow the seasons to do what they do. just like we have seasons in our weather, spring, summer, winter, fall, there's going to be seasons in our life, and God is going to allow the seasons to persist. It's not God's fault.
Would you like to download this episode for free? Now you can. FinallyAliveRadio.com has every episode ready for download absolutely free. Visit us at FinallyAliveRadio.com. That's FinallyAliveRadio.com.
Everyone will have good seasons and bad seasons. Which one will be more? Which one will be less? Everyone is different. But God's job isn't to change the seasons for you. It's not His job to do miracles for you 24 hours a day. His job is to be the shepherd and lead you. The question will you be led by Him? So sometimes you will be under the apple tree with the shepherd, and sometimes you will be on the strenuous trek with the shepherd. The common theme in both situations is you are with the shepherd. And as long as you can be content with being with the Lord is your shepherd, and you will not lack. Look, the easiest thing to do in life is to criticize. That's super easy to do. Anyone can do that. I challenge you to be less critical. And my common theme is to thank God for what you do have. Thank God that you're able to listen to the show right now and you have the conscious ability to listen to the show right now. Have you thanked Him for stuff like that? And if you're not, what does that say? Are you not being thankful? So that's my challenge to you. Repent and be thankful to God because you aren't lacking. You're able to hear what I'm saying. You're able to comprehend what I'm saying. If this is emotionally affecting you, thank God you have emotions. You don't lack that. Praise the Lord for that. And thank Him now. Because He's your shepherd. And you lack nothing. And a lot of times in verse 2, they read the verse, He makes me lie down in green pastures. And we, again, 21st century human being, look at this and say, oh, this is just a giant green field. Again, another misconception. The land out there is generally a big desert. Where are you going to find these green pastures? Could it be? There might be some here and there. But in a desert? I mean, how are you going to find that? Again, could there be a little season that might have a green giant pasture, just miles and miles of green grass, perhaps? Perhaps, but very seldom, if any. So the green pastures, in this context, would be this. As the shepherd took them up and down maybe hills, or these certain areas, typically there were little tiny, almost bite-sized patches of greens, of grass, or what have you. It wasn't miles of grass. It was little tiny patches, almost bite-sized. So once the sheep ate their bite, you know what the sheep had to do? It had to keep moving to find their next bite. It wasn't just laying around and saying, oh, I can just sit here and eat all the grass I want. No. You had to consistently move. That is exactly how life is. The shepherd leads you to a place to get your bite for the day. Isn't it interesting? God gave Israel manna, and the manna was only good for that one day. The next day, they had to collect more manna, more food. It was never enough for the week. It was never enough for 2 days. You could only collect enough for one day. The idea is here too. The shepherd will lead you to get your bite, and then you got to keep moving. That's no different than life. Guess what in life? We have to keep moving, and that's okay. That's normal. That's actually healthy. We need to keep moving. Think about it even physically. You need to keep moving. If you stay still too long, you start to get, cramping and body starts to ache and feel pain. It's no different in the context of Psalm 23. You need to keep moving, and that's okay. Verse 3 says, He restores my soul. Now think about it. Restoring your soul, what does that have to do with you and getting your food? So back to verse 1, you shall not lack. Why? Because verse 3, he restores your soul. So it has nothing to do with material things that you own or have or want. You lack nothing because he will restore your soul. Verse 3, continuing, says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What is all this for? That last piece that I just said. All of this, you being shepherded by the Lord, is for his name's sake. Well, how come he gets to show off? Because he's God. You aren't. I'm not. He can do what he wants. That's what it means to be God. He does what he wants. You know, even the word Yahweh, right, in the Hebrew, Yahweh or Jehovah, as some would say, has a connection to a word, Hayah, which means to be. When he goes to Moses and he says, I am who I am, the idea is, I do what I want. I run the show. You don't ask questions. I ask the questions. It's a very powerful statement that God tells Moses. I am who I am, meaning I do what I want to do. You listen to me. You don't ask me questions. I ask the questions. Pretty powerful. Sounds like God to me. And guess what? He's allowed to talk that way because he runs the show, because he is who he is. He does what he wants. That's what makes him all powerful, almighty, and nobody can outdo this God. Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or another way to say the end part there would be the valley of deep darkness, the darkest places, the worst of the worst. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This person sounds like the Lord is his shepherd. And to him, it sounds like he doesn't care what's on the way, because he trusts God with everything that he has. How could he say this? How can he fear no evil? What's the trick here, right? How can I stop being scared? My friend, it's very simple. He knows the truth. He knows who runs the show. He knows whose child he is. And he's walking in that. I'm not saying it's easy. And he had his moments. David had his moments. If you guys know the story of King David, he had his moments. He did some horrible things. But he is forever known as the man after God's own heart. Lord, oh God, to only have a title like that. A man after God's own heart. Just a side note here, I get a little emotional with this one because years ago, a prophet had prophesied over me. I didn't know the guy, and he just kind of started saying things and about my life. He said that you basically would have a lot of similarities to David. And instantly what I thought was, you know, being a man after God's own heart. And I pray and I ask that you would pray for me, that will always be my desire. That is my desire. I would even say, this sounds a little dark, but you know, on my tombstone, I hope that is what I will be remembered for, a man after God's own heart. So pray for me that I don't stray. That is my main desire, is to be a man after God's own heart. So excuse me, I get a little emotional about this, but just a side note there. So keep me in your prayers about that. So how is he able to fear no evil? Because the heart that he cares about is God's heart. The direction he cares about is God's direction. That's what's interesting about David. He strayed, he did things, he did horrible things, he committed acts of murder, acts of adultery, but he never left God. Read it for yourself. Read the chapters on David. He never left God. Did he sin? Yes, no question. But he never left God. It says a lot about him. I hope I never go down those paths. I don't even get near the paths that he was. But that's one thing he didn't do, is leave God. And that's the lesson. You do that. You need a strong relationship with your shepherd, the Lord. You need to get to know him and know about him. And again, yeah, I'm going to say it again, church. It's that important. You can't do this battle on your own. Nobody can. We're not made to be hermits. Get to know him. That's the answer. That's the answer to all of this. You want less fear? Connect to God. You want to be able to deal with your problems better? Connect to God. How do you do it? With a relationship. How do you have a relationship? Through his son, Jesus Christ. He is what the New Testament would say, the propitiation, the paid in full receipt to have that connection to God again. He is the shepherd. He continues and says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now let's talk about the safety part of what the shepherd would do. His rod and his staff. What was the purpose of the staff? What's a two-way street? Two things. One, to protect me from enemies. And number two, to protect me from me. Do you understand sometimes bad things happen or tough things happen? But it is really God protecting you from you. Newsflash, if you're human, you are susceptible to doing dumb things. You are susceptible to error. You know I'm being sarcastic, right, with the newsflash? Yeah. I hope you caught that. But look, speaking of the sheep, the shepherd's staff might, you know, give a little tap or a smack to the sheep if they're too close to the edge of a cliff. Do you know that if a sheep was continually disobedient, do you know that a shepherd would actually break the leg of a sheep? That sounds grotesque. But you know what? You know what happens? Have you guys seen the picture of Jesus with a lamb on his shoulders? If you saw a picture or if you saw a shepherd with a lamb on its shoulders, you know that sheep was actually disobedient and probably had a broken leg. And it wasn't for the sake of punishment and being mean and rude. No, the whole idea was the leg was broke, but now the shepherd was going to take care of it. And because the shepherd now took care of this disobedient sheep, they actually would begin to grow a bond. And by the time the leg was healed, this sheep would not leave the side of the shepherd. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a metaphor of you and I. Sometimes we need something in our lives to break for us to lay on the shoulders of our Creator. Spiritually speaking, to have that connection with the Almighty. Israel and their 40-year trek was exactly that. To disconnect them from their disobedient, broken past and to connect them to a new future. A land flowing with milk and honey is how the Bible would say it, for the betterment of them. So when you're going through your tough times and your trials, perhaps God wants you on his shoulders. Perhaps God is saying, I want a connection with you. Not to worry. I've got you. That's why his rod and his staff comfort him. Because that is what is going to protect him. And that is the true sign of the shepherd's love for his sheep. Now, I'm going to pause here with this chapter, but I'm going to give you another element, something that you can put over this and see what, hopefully a different or a widening your scope a little bit to understand perhaps what our psalmist is saying here. Shepherd language. The Lord is my shepherd. That very well may be a metaphor. If you remember our last show, I talked about metaphors. We may have found one here. So a metaphor here for this word shepherd very well might be king. Now it gets very tricky here because the language doesn't mean king. It doesn't say the word king. But how do I get the idea that shepherd might mean king? This is where history helps us. We look at the culture of that day and what words meant. Remember we talked about idioms last time? Well, the word shepherd may have an idiom here for the word king. Why? Well, what does a shepherd do, and what does a king do? In those days, a shepherd would feed its flock, the king would feed its people. A shepherd would care for its flock, the king would care for its people. they both guarded, right? One would guard their sheep, the other would guard their people. So do you see there's this interesting connection with what a king would do and what a shepherd would do? They're not the same. But in this case, because we're speaking about the Lord, perhaps the idiom here is, the Lord is my king, I shall not lack. Now in history, here's some interesting stuff. All to make sense of this, Dumuzi, Sumerian kings of Uruk and Lagash, was called the Shepherd King. Gudea, ruler of Lagash, he is designated as, quote-unquote, the Good Shepherd. Hammurabi, the sixth king of the first Babylonian dynasty, was known as Shepherd. So yeah, in history, there were times where the word shepherd may have been used as a metaphor for a king. To use the word shepherd instead of king is absolutely beautiful if you really think about this, because a shepherd, the idea would be, I have a tender heart for my flock. But understanding that this word as a metaphor could be used as a king, that's a whole different thing. Because what does a king do? He brings justice. The Lord is exactly that. He is righteous. And what does that mean? He is right. But how is he a righteous God? Because he has mercy just as well as justice. The ultimate shepherd king. And let me add another bonus to this. A third layer to this idea of shepherd. In other manuscripts, there was this false god named Amun or Amun-Re. He's a false god, but he's also known as, quote-unquote, the Good Shepherd. Having a staff, right? Remember his rod and his staff? The false god Osiris is decorated with a staff. What does that represent? Being regal, being divine. There's actually three layers to this one word, shepherd. So the Lord isn't just literally my shepherd. He's my shepherd, he's my king, and he's my God. Understanding the language and the history adds so much to this one chapter. It's mind-blowing. So my friends, the Lord isn't just your shepherd who has love and mercy. He's also a king who brings justice. And he's also a God who runs the show. Tell me, how can you be lacking when you have that? Be willing to be led by this shepherd king God. If you're willing to be led, like in verse 3, he will restore your soul. He will lead you into paths of righteousness, the right direction. And yes, you will fear no evil, because his rod and his staff will comfort you. Love God with everything you've got. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might. See what will happen. I dare you. Until next time, my friend, God bless you.
Thank you again for joining us on this week's program with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris of Finally Alive Ministries. We pray that if God has touched your heart with any part of today's teaching, you would respond and move into the healing that God has for you. Visit us at finallyalive.com. There, you can download this episode for free, email your concerns, questions, or share a story of how God is using this teaching to help you grow in Christ and His freedom. If you'd like to call our prayer line, you may do so at 657-246-2464. That's 657-246-2464. Or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. We will meet you again next week at this same time when we look at God's Word with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris and learn how to finally be alive in Christ.
Would you like to download this episode for free? Now you can. FinallyAliveRadio.com has every episode ready for download absolutely free. Visit us at FinallyAliveRadio.com. That's FinallyAliveRadio.com.